Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 16, The Lord's Opulence. This is text number 1. Shirabhubhacha. Tvam Brahma Paramam Shakshar. Inadyantamapavritam. Sarvesham api bhavanam. Pranastita pyod bhavaha. Sri Uddhava huvacha. Sri Uddhava said, Tvam, you are Brahma, the greatest. Paramam, the supreme. Sakshat, himself. Anadi, without beginning. Antam, without end. Or become unlimited. Sarvesham. Indeed, bhavanam, things which exist, prana, the protector, sthiti, the life giver, apyaya, the destruction, udbhavaha, and the creation. Translation, Sri Uddhava said, my dear Lord, you are beginningless and endless, the absolute truth himself, unlimited by anything else. You are the protector and the life giver, the destruction and creation of all things that exist. Translation response. So Sri Uddhava said, my dear Lord, you are beginningless and endless, the absolute truth himself, unlimited by anything else. You are the protector and life giver, the destruction and creation of all. Things that exist. Brahma means the greatest of all and the cause of everything. Uddhava here addresses the Lord as the Paramam, or Supreme Brahma, because in his feature as Bhagavan, the Lord is the highest feature of the Absolute Truth and the shelter of unlimited spiritual opulences. Unlike those of ordinary living entities, the Lord's opulences cannot be restricted by time, and thus the Lord is anadi anantam, without beginning or end, and apavritam, unhindered by any superior or equal potency. The opulence of the material world is also resting within the Lord, who alone can protect, maintain, create, and destroy the material world. In this chapter, Sri Uddhava inquires from the Lord about his spiritual and material opulences in order to refine his appreciation of the Lord's position as the Absolute Truth. Even Lord Vishnu, the ultimate creator of the material world, is an expansion of Lord Krishna, and thus Sri Uddhava wishes to fully appreciate the unique status of his personal friend. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjanaha Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Darati Svaparantiham Mama Sreshta Manumati Sachiputra Matra Swarupam Rupam Tasya Grajam Rupudim Maturim Gohosta Vritim Radha Punda Giriva Ramahora Dika Madhava Asam
praptoyasa patita kritaya Sri Gurum Tanyatosmi Shri Udava Huracha Tandrama Paramam Sakshat Nadyantam Apavritam Sarvesham Apibhavanam Tranastityat Kayor Bhavaha.
Shri Udava said, "My dear Lord, you are beginningless and endless, the absolute truth himself, unlimited by anything else. You are the protector and life giver, the destruction and creation of all things that exist." This word destruction, it triggered up a memory for me. I'd like to share it with you. We had at the end of each year, twice a year, we give out student reports in the school. And we had a very good year two teacher. English wasn't her first language, and sometimes she would get words mixed up. They sound the same, but they have different meaning. And so she would write about this child regularly. That was one of those words that came up regularly in the reports, especially for the naughty boys. It came up that this boy, he's very destructive in class. She meant he was distracting others, but the word she used was destructive in all of it. Luckily I edit the reports before they go to parents. The parent doesn't have this image of the child ripping apart the classroom, destroying the classroom. Very destructive. Anyway, nothing to do with the class. Sri Uddhava Uvacha. Sri Uddhava is speaking. And Uddhava, like Arjuna, is a friend of Krishna. Uddhava and Arjuna are a similar in many ways, and Krishna has spoken this Bhagavad Gita with Uddhava, and here we have Krishna speaking another Gita with Uddhava. And because he speaks Bhaktosmi and Sakaha, he's Krishna's friend and his Bhakta, his devotee. And so he's going to reveal to him the intimate science of Krishna consciousness, so that Arjuna, so that Uddhava, here in the purport, Ridhamana Maharaj uses the word refine, so that he may refine his appreciation. It's not exactly a word that Prabhupada might use, but it's very, very accurate, very nicely put. So that he might refine his appreciation of the Lord's position as the absolute truth. And that's the special mercy that Arjuna and Uddhava and great devotees who engage in this prashna, engage in this inquiry process. They do it for the benefit of everybody. Spiritual life is not a selfish thing. Spiritual life is about assisting others for their progress and for their development, and to connect others with Krishna. That is the mood and the ultimate goal of devotional service, is to bring as many people as possible to Krishna. That's why the gopis or the manjaris are considered to be the most ecstatic living entities, because they're bringing people to Krishna. Jananda Maharaj told me a story that when they did the last big Abhishek in Mayapur, he was given a service to greet the devotees at the entrance in Mayapur. For those of you who have been to Mayapur, sometimes it can be not such a welcoming place after a long 4 or 5 or 8 hour journey in and out of potholes along a very difficult road to get to the Mayapur Dham. And after 24 or 36 hours of flying and interrupted flights, you can get there pretty, you can be pretty bedraggled when you get to the Mayapur entrance. Right? Sometimes you can be very, very exhausted. And then you get there to greet somebody who says, your unit or your apartment has been booked. You haven't got a place to stay in. Go back. Go back to where you came from. That's happened to many devotees in the past. And so Jamananda Maharaj was given the service of greeting people and making them feel happy after they had gone through the service deity to get to the Dham. And he embraced that service, and he was, no, it was for the installation of Panchatattva, I think. For the installation of Panchatattva. Right, so it was for the installation of the Panchatattva. And he got the devotees, and he was training up his boys at the front desk, how to greet people when they come to a foreign country, to a foreign place. Many, many people come for the first time, so very bewildered. They don't know what to do. And so he would greet them in a very personal way and offer them a cool drink and a seat before, you know, getting their passport number out and their date of birth and their, all this stuff. He would greet them with chandan, sandalwood paste of Lord Nrsimhadev, and garland them and sit them down, give them a drink. Maybe not to every single person, but to most people that he could do that to. He did it in a very loving way. And so he did this for many, many days. He greeted all the people from the big shots to the small shots, whoever they were. Didn't matter, he just greeted them in the same way. And he said it was the most ecstatic Mayapur festival he's ever been to. He didn't even get to see Panchatattva. Panchatattva, the whole purpose for the festival was Panchatattva's installation. And everybody was crowding in to have the first darshan, or to be on the altar and bathe the deities, or to offer something to see the deities. But Jananda Maharaj, he got to see the deities when everybody went home. After the festival was finished, he went down to darshan of Panchatattva. After they were installed. But he was relating that story to me, and he was saying how it was the greatest pleasure we can get in devotional service is by serving the Vaishnavas, by serving the devotees, by not trying to become very big, you know, prominently situated in front of our peers or in front of our seniors or in front of the deities. But the way we do that is the way we develop our attraction for Krishna and our satisfaction and our pleasure in Krishna consciousness is to serve the Vaishnavas and to perform everything that we do for their benefit. Of course, it's a high level of consciousness to come to, but we can aspire for that. They're aspirational goals. Our Rasa Mandava Prabhu is one of the big, great educators in ISKCON, and he says we should have these foundational goals, foundational aims and objectives. He's a very big on aims and objectives. Foundational ones and aspirational ones. So the aspirational goals and objectives, they may seem at times almost impossible or difficult to achieve, unachievable. But through the association of the Vaishnavas and by keeping the end in mind and by taking small baby steps, we can achieve our aspirational goals in due course, or by understanding the principles behind the execution of our devotional service. So here we're being introduced to this, the Lord's opulence, and Arjuna was also introduced. Arjuna's inquiry was the same as Uddhava's. Arjuna asked Krishna to reveal to him his opulence so that he could understand him more, so that he could develop more attraction for him, so that he could become convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that the only purpose in life is to engage in pure devotional service. And to do that, we need to have some knowledge, some jnana. But Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas, they distinguish between material knowledge and spiritual knowledge. And the process for receiving spiritual knowledge is the pranipatena, pariprasnena sevaya. It's a transcendental dynamic which is involved in understanding or in acquiring knowledge, that there has to be submission, pranipat. One has to fall down for dandabats, to do full dandabats and to take shelter of the spiritual master, to take shelter of the spiritual process, to take shelter of Krishna. We offer our head, our body, our hearts, our minds, everything we offer to Krishna, whatever we have. That is pranipat. And then pariprasna, pariprasnina. We have to inquire, we have to ask questions, curiosity. Curiosity is very important in spiritual life. We have to figure out why things happen the way they do. And we have to, we can't sleep at night until we find out how it is that I'm going to be able to perfect another aspect of my devotional life. How will I do that? How will I chant better rounds in the morning? By becoming introspective, reflective, by understanding that what we do today is going to affect what we do tomorrow. Cause and effect. It's something which is very difficult for children to understand. But as maturing adults, we should take responsibility for our actions and understand that by the association I keep today and by the activities I do today, I engage in today, they're going to affect my consciousness tomorrow. That's the law of karma, or the law of action and reaction, inaction. That's the law. So we have to modify our existence. We have to, in the process of doing, and Arasa Mandala, who some of you know, he popularized a process of learning called experiential learning. That means it's a learning process that's not given from above, that's not just forced upon you, but it's something that you engage in and you experience something, you try something out, you do something, then you reflect on what you did. And he sets up certain structures for that reflection. And we have that. Srila Prabhupada has given us that process. In many ways, Krishna consciousness or bhakti yoga is an experiential learning program. It's a doing program. Prabhupada said that devotional service is the transcendental dynamic nature of the soul. That's Prabhupada's definition of bhakti. That bhakti is the transcendental dynamic nature of the soul. And so means we have to do something. It's a verb. It's a doing thing. We have to get out there and roll up our sleeves and do many, many things. Engage the mind in Krishna service, engage the body in Krishna service, engage the heart in Krishna service. We were reading the other day, we had Rath Yatra in Auckland last weekend, and some of you will see the pictures are up on the Auckland website. We were watching them yesterday. Very nice pictures. And it's a very grand festival in Auckland. We have one of those big Janmijaya Prabhu crafted carts. He's one of the great craftsmen in ISKCON. And he crafted this beautiful cart that they've used for many, many years there. And we take the deities up Queen Street. And this year we had, it's Main Street. There aren't not many streets in Auckland. So that's the street. We took the deities up the street. And we had a large crowd, beautiful day, and many, many people came to worship Lord Jagannath. And in the morning we were reading the pastime of the Lord dancing before Lord Jagannath from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And there it said that when Lord Chaitanya was dancing before Jagannath, there was an exchange of emotions, that Lord Jagannath was amazed at the opulence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was amazed at Lord Jagannath. And Prabhupada said they were one and the same deity, one and the same form, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they were amusing each other by their supreme variegatedness. He used that term. They were simultaneously one in different form and experiencing a bhav, and that was the word that I was trying to get to. It said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that one who dances before the Lord in the Bhakti Rasa Mita Sindhu, we read that also at the same time, Bhanuswami's translation, it said there that one who has bhav, bhavu bahusha, bhaktitaha, if you have many emotions, many different types of emotions for the Lord, when you dance with many different types of emotions before the Lord at the Rath Yatra festival or in the cart, if you follow the cart of the Lord, then you can develop a form the same as Krishna. You will become Krishna-like, Vishnu-va. You will become exactly the same as Lord Vishnu by doing this, just by following the form and by expressing yourself, by letting your emotions connect with Krishna. Bhavaid bahusha bhaktitaha. Many different varieties of emotions that the devotees experience in the execution of the devotional service. It's healthy. Virajan Prabhu sometimes calls the process emotional service. It's emotional service. Because we have to cultivate that bhav for Krishna. We have to cultivate that bhav for his devotees. That connection with the devotees. Relationships. Personality. Relationships. So Uddhava and Arjuna have this special relationship with Krishna, and they have an emotional connection with the Supreme Lord, and through that connection they're able to extract, or they're able to encourage the Lord to fully enunciate his opulences by the questioning, by association, etc. The verse before Hamsa Vasya Prabhu says that etam vistabhin, who knows that verse? 10:7. Vistabhyena yogena. Etam vistabhyena yogena. One who knows this opulence of mine, opulence and mystic perfections of mine, who is convinced about them, who knows them fully, that yujiteo matra samsaya, without a doubt, they will engage in bhakti, in devotional service. So vikalpena yogina, in unalloyed bhakti, they'll do devotional service which is unalloyed, by understanding, by becoming convinced of Krishna's opulences. Vistabhyena cha yogena. Etam vistabhyena yogena. They'll become totally convinced and they'll engage in pure devotional service. And in that purport, Srila Prabhupada explains the importance of understanding the opulence, or of hearing about the opulences of the Supreme Lord. Because when we hear, we develop attraction, shraddha, rati, shraddha rati, bhakti vanukramishyati. When we hear about the Lord, Lord Kapiladeva teaches us in the third canto that those who hear about Krishna in the association of the devotees, satam prasangam, namavidisangadu, become enlivened, they become happy, they become satisfied. That's the machchitta makatapranas. Tushanti cha namanti cha. The devotees feel very happy, enthused, and enlightened by exchanging the pastimes, activity, the katha of Krishna, Krishna katha. That enlivens the devotees. And it inspires the devotees to do more bhakti, to engage in more devotional service, because we start to understand what we're doing. In that verse, it said that Bhavanti Vitkana Rasayana Katha. The Rasayana of Krishna Katha is it's pleasing, it very pleases the heart. Hritkana Rasayana Katha pleases the heart and the ear. The Rasayana goes, the elixir, the medicine, which is a very pleasing and soothing oshavi, medicine for the soul, inspires the devotees and lifts them up to higher position, higher consciousness. And then it said that Taj Yoshanad Ashrata Bhagavatmani, Taj Yoshanad, by this conviction, by this cultivation, Prabhupada uses that word for Yoshanad, cultivating. By cultivating this Rasayana Katha, the devotees, apavagavatmani, they take the path of liberation. Apavaga, not pavaga. Pavaga is the papabhavana. It's for the fear and the death and the frothing at the mouth, exertion. It's for difficult material existence, pavaga. Apavagavatmani means not the material existence, the transcendental existence. Just by hearing, we become transformed or connected by hearing the Rasanaya Katha. And then, the last line is very interesting in this shloka. Shraddha Ratir Bhakti Anukramishati. When one becomes convinced, Shraddha, faith, when the conviction Rati, that attraction for Krishna, becomes solid, then bhakti, then devotion, and real devotional service begin. That's how Prabhupada translates that. When you develop a conviction for hearing Krishna Katha, when you are on the path of apavada vatmani, then bhakti begins, and real devotional service. Anukramishati means it will follow in order after this. After you get some taste, some ruchi to hear the Krishna Katha, then bhakti will kick in. You'll ignite the fire of bhakti And through that ignition of the fire of bhakti, we become free from sinful activities. Sarva papyena kilbisham. All sins are destroyed because we become, not because we focus on them and meditate on them and try to avoid sin. Not at all. Because we focus and meditate upon Krishna. And as we focus and meditate upon Krishna and a higher purpose in life, then that the material things simultaneously or at the same time proportionately diminish in a kind of an inverse, like on the scales. As you get more bhakti, then you get less material affection, less material attraction, less material distraction and disturbance for the mind, because the mind becomes satisfied. Tushti, pushti, kshudapayom, ghasam. The mind becomes, it becomes relieved of its hunger for Krishna. It becomes nourished and there's satisfaction. Devotees become satisfied. So we have to hear about the opulence of Krishna. And Uddhava is encouraging Krishna to tell us of these opulences, because when we hear about them, it will convince us. Shadarati bhakti ranukramishati, to begin bhakti, to do devotional service. Because it's very difficult to do something we don't know anything about. That's how I was going to start this class, actually. Sometimes I finish classes where I was going to start them. If I was going to ask if you had any experience before of doing something that you're not quite sure about. I'm sure you have. Many of us have had that experience. Some of you will be driving a car, directions, that's a good one for me, trying to find my way around places, or just trying to change the washer and the tap. If you don't know how to change the washer and the tap, it can be very confusing, very bewildering. And the tap's dripping and you might have to spend 50, 60 bucks to get a plumber in to fix up a washer and a tap. Or if you don't know how to change a fuse in a fuse box, you're very confusing, very bewildering, and you're very hesitant to touch the fuse because you might think you get electrocuted, or you don't know where to turn off the mains or something like that. So without knowledge we become very hesitant to act, and things become like very problematic, and we need to call in the experts all the time. So we call in the plumber and the electrician, and these guys take us to the cleaners because we don't know how to do a simple thing, just change a fuse box or something like that. So with knowledge we can save money, and with knowledge we can act with conviction, we can act with confidence. And in the same way, with a mundane material example of changing a fuse or of putting a new washer on the tap, you learn how to do these things by inquiring from somebody. Ask somebody, or somebody might Google it. Google's a verb. You Google it. Just go and Google it. And then you find out how to do it. It's a fact. We had a young boy come to the temple. Interesting character. He was actually Mahavan's boss at work. Mahavan worked for a year and a half at a wireless internet company called Woosh in Auckland. And he was trying to keep his Krishna consciousness undercover, right? He said, you know, he's going to try and be pretty cool and wear some, you know, the designer clothes and the big shoes and the whole hairstyle and everything. No, he's totally undercover Hare Krishna, right? So he spent a year and a half there. Nobody kind of knew what he was, Hare Krishna. He was just, you know, Michael, and it was all good. And then after a year and a half, he left and went back to uni. And he was at Radhastami this year, sitting down Radhastami for Mangalati. And big temple was full. And this guy gets up in a dhoti and he walks over to pick up a pair of kartals, set of kartals, starts playing kartals. And Mahavan's looking at him. He said, "My God, that's my boss." His boss from Woosh. He's playing kartals at Radhastami in the morning. Mangalati. He couldn't believe it. It was Sandeep, his boss. You know something? He's a new guy. So Sandeep has been coming for a little while to the temple, just about to come. And then Mahavan teaches Rananga at school. So he was there on Friday teaching Rananga to the kids. And this guy comes in, a technician, like an engineer, a computer geek, comes in from HP. And we have all laptops for teachers, program in schools. So when they break down, we get the technicians to come in and sort them out. So this technician comes in, and it was another one of Marvan's colleagues from work. And this guy came in, Kartik, he came into the school, and he was crying. The technician comes in, he's got his tools and everything, his kit puts them down, and he starts crying in the staff room. And I said, like, well, what's up? What's wrong with this guy? And he said he'd just been to the temple. And he saw the deities, right, the deity type. And he said he couldn't leave the temple. And he knew he had to be, you know, he was booked in for 11 o'clock job. And he got to the temple, I caught for 11. It was about 11:30. And just stayed there, staring at the deities. He said he never had this experience before. He was a bit of an enjoyer. He's a young kid, you know, really out there. First time being to the temple. So he had a really emotional experience in front of the deities and came over to do his job, came over to the school to do his job. And he was still crying in the staff room. And then Marvan walks in. He says, "God, what are you doing here, man?" And he says, "Oh, I'm doing a job for your father. I'm the HP guy, you know, I'm just sorting out the computers." And so those two had a big reunion at the school. And he was telling Marvan, because Kartik was apparently one of the real lads at work, he was telling Marvan about his experience at the temple, right, with Radha Giritari, and how he'd never been to a temple before, practically in his life, not even in India. He's a bit of an enjoyer, you know, Indian guy who made it, was trying to make it in the West with all of his skills. And then he said to Marvan that these kids in the school, that's what really got to him. When he came over to the school, the kids were saying, that kids met him and greeted him, said, "Hare Krishna Prabhu." The guy comes to fix up the computers, "Hare Krishna Prabhu." And he was really bewildered by it all. It really touched him. It was a really personal thing for him. Kartik. So, devotional service is something that comes with a lot of, it packs a lot of emotion in, and it's something that we can really, the more we hear about it, the more convinced we become. And that's what Krishna is providing with us here in the Lord's opulence, the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. The 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes his opulence as he reveals his form in the 11th, but in the 10th chapter, Savaranam Himalayam. He says there'll be movable things in Himalaya. He says he gives us so many metaphors and visual images to meditate upon so that we can understand what asoham apsukhante are, that everything is Krishna. We can't get away from Krishna. We drink water, it's Krishna. We see the sun, it's Krishna. We see the moon, it's Krishna. Whatever we experience, whatever knowledge we have, whatever understandings we have, it's Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna. So Krishna's got us, he's got us cornered completely. We can't get out of it, that Krishna is the supreme. When Akrura was taking Krishna to Mathura to see Kamsa, he offered the prayers, beautiful prayers, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he said that new Krishna, he saw Krishna in Balaram's amazing manifestation of Jamuna. He said, "Krishna, you're the person from Narayan, comes from you, the Supreme Narayan. And from Narayan sprouts a lotus from his navel. And from that navel of Narayan, the lotus flower, comes Lord Brahma. And from Lord Brahma creates the whole universe. The whole creation comes from Lord Brahma." He said, "And you're the cause of Lord Brahma. So you're the cause of all causes, the Savakarana Karana." That was one of his first prayers, Akrura's prayers. "That you're the cause of all causes. If Brahma comes from you, there's nothing before that. Narayan comes from you, there's nothing before that." So Akrura understands that because he's seen it, he's experienced it. We hear about it, but we can learn to experience it. And we can learn to feel it in the same way. These are aspirational goals. Eventually we'll get there. We set them up as aspirational goals, and eventually by practicing our sadhana, by practicing the daily routines, it said the perfection comes from the things that we do daily, by practicing and practicing and practicing, we'll get some realization and some understanding, because that's the promise of Krishna. That Krishna consciousness is a revelatory process that's revealed in the heart of the devotee. Isn't it? And the devotee engages Priti Purvakam with some emotion, some love for Krishna, then Krishna gives Buddhi Yogam. He gives them understanding how to engage more, how to engage further in devotional service, and to get more of a taste, to get more, become more convinced. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that by conviction, by acting with conviction in devotional service, we can crush all anattas in the heart. So we have to, like, to become convinced, we need jnana, we need some knowledge. We need to understand how Krishna looks, what he does, how he feels, what he favors, what his likes are, what his dislikes are. We need to absorb ourselves in that Krishna book and hot milk program. Because if we do that, then you can understand Krishna. Prabhupada said to, I think it was Govinda, and he wrote a letter, she wrote a letter to Prabhupada expressing her kind of hesitation or her doubts about Krishna, especially the Krishna book, thinking that this Krishna book is sometimes it's a little bit too out there, you know, some of the statements about Krishna and his wives and all that stuff. Prabhupada said, you just keep reading the Krishna book in association with the devotees. And Prabhupada stressed that point in that Ekam Vistabhim Yogena, in that purport, 10.7. That one has to understand Krishna's opulence in association with the devotees, Tampa Sangam. Because when we're with the devotees, we become, it's like a support system. In technical terms, we call it scaffolding in education. The devotees provide a scaffold for us, they provide us with support and encouragement for us to stretch beyond our comfort zone. And when we get out there beyond the comfort zone, that's when we start to learn, that's when we start to pick things up. Because when we stay in our comfort zone, we know all that stuff, we've already learned that stuff, but we have to go a little bit beyond, and to get beyond we need support and we need a scaffold. And then when we're out there and we've picked it up and we're confident and we're engaging and it's working, then the scaffold is removed. But we never remove the devotional metaphor, the scaffold analogy. It's always there. But it helps the scaffold of the devotees, or in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it's called a fence. The fence that we protect, that protects our bhakti lata beach, is that sangha. The sangha of the Vaishnavas. And that's very, very important for us to develop our understanding and our conviction, our appreciation, to refine our appreciation of the Lord's position as the absolute truth. So we'll finish there and ask if there are any questions or comments.
Yes,
Navin. Yes,
thank you. There is a saying, curiosity killed the cat, or curiosity killed the monkey. So maybe you can explain what's the difference between curiosity and paripraśna. Because in strict sense of the term, they're not exactly on the same level. We see many times, second part of the question, for our own benefit, how do we get from just being curious and wanting to know something about something or something about everything, to actually inquiring deeply with the commitment to actually implement.
Very good question. That's I sort of use this word curiosity, and I have used it before loosely with inquiry, curiosity, and a few other of these kind of in terms in educational circles that we want to light the fire of inquiry for our students. That education is a fire to be lit, not a cup to be filled. It's something that's really, it's going to start to take over. And inquiry, as Navina Prabhu just mentioned, is more focused and carries more commitment to follow through than curiosity. Because curiosity has a sense of being a little bit kind of laissez-faire, a little non-committal, and just being, you know, fringing it. A little curious, just testing the water, but not to convinced and not too worried about where this is going to get to. But we do, the curiosity kind of gets people in. It's a little bit like Raj Gauranga's program. He does all these huge catering programs up north, And he has these big tents, and he has all this amazing stuff from Bali and Indonesia, and the trinkets and things that get people into his store. So they come into his store and they take prasadam. They come in, and then he has a big pile of books there, Prabhupada's books. And they get them into the store, and then he sells the books, because they were kind of just sniffing around. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, it was a pretty good pakora, and they got into it. And then they bought a sun hat and they bought something else, and they ended up flicking through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's kind of the curiosity program. And then once they're in, we hopefully we can cultivate an atmosphere where inquiry is considered to be, that's the ultimate purpose of life. Jigyasu Sriya Uttamam. And in the 11th canto says, that's it. When you get the human form of life, you have to inquire. Tato Brahma Jigyasa. You have to inquire about the nature of the absolute truth. But first of all, we need that kind of bridge of transcendence. We need to get from where we are, or to get people from where they are, to that inquiry process. So we need to kind of give them a little taster, something to get them in, hook them in. Is that okay? Mahatmaji.
Hare Guru.
That's it. Okay. Anything else? Thank you very much. Prantaraj Shimar Bhagavatam Kudesh Shri Rupa Kudesh.